Our gospel for this Easter begins with an account of a group of disciples who go out to the tomb on Easter morning. They must have been a sad lot, going out to pay their respects to the body of their now dead teacher and master. Mary Magdalene was one of the women who was there in the group going out to the cemetery that day. Her great friend Jesus had died, the one who reached out to her and loved her and had embraced her had died. Mary went out with the rest of them in grief to pay her last respects to the memory of her friend. When people go through grief, they often report what a huge achievement it is just to put one foot in front of the other. To keep on keeping on becomes the great achievement. And maybe that's why Mary went out to the tomb on the first Easter. When people go through great trauma, like a great grief, we don't expect them so much to triumph as to simply survive. Simply being a survivor is triumph enough. There are so many times in life when the greatest virtue is to simply keep on keeping on, to stay, to take up accustomed rituals again, to get up and go out to work, even though you just want to give up. Well-meaning friends sometimes tell us when we're in grief, you must get up and get going. You need to keep moving, get up, get dressed. And Mary did that the first Easter. And yet, she also didn't do that because she stayed at the tomb. The other disciples came, saw the empty tomb, and went back to Jerusalem to preach, "He's risen." But Mary lingered. She stayed. And because she stayed, she met Jesus and saw the risen Christ for herself, and she believed. I remember something a parishioner said to me not long after I got here, maybe a year or two after I'd come. The Church of St. Michael and St. George had been through a rough patch. One rector had left, and after a long and exhausting interim, it wasn't clear where the ship was headed. By the grace of God, eventually things got better and started to change. People who hadn't spoken to each other for years were speaking again. New members were turning up. One day I had occasion to thank one of our loyal older members for her support and her leadership. I thanked her for simply staying with the congregation during its rough times, and because she stayed, she helped lead the congregation forward. She said, "Well, I stayed because I couldn't get it off my mind that God had a purpose for this church." She said, "I stayed because I was convinced that God would one day bless us and use us. You came to us as our priest, and despite my first impressions, you turned out to be the blessing we needed. I'm glad I stayed, because if I'd left, I would have missed out on the resurrection. If I'd left, I'd have missed out on the resurrection." Maybe that's what Jesus expects of us this morning. I don't know if you greet the resurrection proclamation, "He is risen," with a hearty, firm, and strong belief in the resurrection reality. But maybe you don't have to. Maybe all you need to do is simply to be here. And of course, you are. Look at him. You need to stay here. You need to linger for a while. Before the mystery of the crucifixion of Jesus, as well as the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus, you need to keep on keeping on. You need to say your prayers, follow the rituals of the church, put one foot in front of the other in that grand Easter procession. Keep receiving the body and blood of Christ. Just hold on until you find the faith that God wants you to have. As Mary was reminded, we can't hold on to Jesus. He's on the move. But before Jesus heads off, he calls Mary by name, and he allows her to reach out to him. We can't hold on to Jesus. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus, the resurrected Christ, keeps holding on to us, keeps reaching out to us, keeps embracing us, holding us close. A woman reported to me on a dramatic conversion she'd experienced in her life. She said that belief had always been a problem for her. Since she was young, she'd greeted the faith of the church with doubt, question, misgiving. Yet she was in midlife, and she found that she was given the faith she needed to have. She said she'd had a vivid experience of the presence of the risen Christ. She said it was as if a light came on in my life, and things fell into place, and I finally understood. I saw and I believed. I asked her if she knew why she was given this gift of faith now, at this moment, at that particular time. She responded, "I had no idea why the light finally came on and things fell into place. Right now, at this specific time, I just know that I kept standing up every Sunday, saying the words of the Nicene Creed, saying them from memory, really, but not in my heart. If you'd stopped me one Sunday and asked me, 'Do you really believe what you're saying about the resurrection and the virgin birth and all the rest?' I don't know what I'd been able to say. But one day I did believe, and I was so very glad that I stood up for all those hundreds of Sundays and affirmed what I had said I believed. I'm so glad she stayed." Life is like that. It was January 1975. They were both in their mid-40s. He was Harold Pinter, a world-famous playwright. She was Lady Antonia Fraser, a respected historian. His play, The Birthday Party, had just opened in London that night. She went to the after-party show. At the end of the evening, neighbors offered her a ride home. She accepted. "But I must just say hello to Harold Pinter and say it was a wonderful play, wonderful actors, you're wonderful, blah, blah, blah," Fraser recounted. And so Antonia Fraser walked over to the playwright. "I said hello to Harold," Fraser said, "and then I said, 'I must be off.' And he looked at me, and with his very bright black eyes said, 'Must you go?' And I thought, 'I've got to get up in the morning, take the children to school, have to go to the Safeway, I have to write books about Charles II. But I said, "No, it's not absolutely essential." And that changed my life. And of course, 2 years later, they were married, and remained married for the remainder of Pinter's life. She stayed, and she was given a relationship. She stayed, and her life was changed. Jesus calls people to follow me. He takes us on a journey. But sometimes Jesus is happy if people just stay. I don't know how you've come to Easter this morning. I don't know if you're here bearing a strong faith. Maybe you've got questions and doubts. That's not the point. The point is that you have stayed. And staying, you have therefore put yourself in a great place for Christ to reach out to you, to hold on to you, so that you, by your faith, might hold on to him. He is risen, and you have stayed. Alleluia.